In 2000 BC, people used to say, here, eat this root. Then when 1000 AD came around, they said that root is heathen. Here, say this prayer. Then by 1850 AD, that prayer is superstition. Here, drink this potion. By 1940 AD, that potion is snake oil. Here, swallow this pill. Then by 1985, that pill is ineffective. Here, take this antibiotic. And by 2080, that antibiotic is artificial. Here, eat this root. So I think it's coming full circle. Hope you all are doing fine.
In today's episode, I thought, why not interview Juhi? Because ever since she hopped onto the pod, she joined me on this podcast, we intended on doing that, but never really ended up doing that. So thought, why not? Of course, I know her journey, but I think we haven't really shared about how she got into herbalism. And I think for those of you all out there who probably want to pursue it as a career, or maybe just want to get into it to study it, as you know, for being a home herbalist, I guess.
Yeah, a family herbalist and a community herbalist too.
Yeah, so y'all will have a good idea what it is and where y'all can get started and whatnot, everything about it. And even for those who are just keen or interested in what exactly it is, today's episode will clarify everything. Everything you ever wanted to know, or everything that is connected to herbalism.
Yeah, of course. I mean, let's see how deep we can go into.
Okay, so first thing, although I know, but I'll ask you on behalf of others, what got you interested in herbalism?
Okay, I got interested in herbs primarily when I was introduced to them. And I was actually running my naturally dyed clothing business. And while visiting the dyer's workshop where we had our clothes dyed, he started consuming the same herbs that he was using for dyeing the clothes as well. And that really piqued my interest, because I didn't know that you can actually use the same herbs to even help support in your chronic illnesses. And that was something so exciting and riveting to me that I had to get into it and find and discover it for myself.
And I think this was somewhere around 2013.
Yes. Not 2013. This was around 2016.
I'm so sorry. 2016. I'm sorry. Yeah. It was around 2016, I remember.
Yes.
And I think that time we just started shooting a documentary.
Yeah.
And actually, Juhi's role when we had our natural dyed organic cotton clothing company, her role was just to create content and get into the details and all of this. That was one of the things she did. So it was her job to always somehow, it just fell into her to-do list.
Yeah.
And she had to study herbs, in short, because that's what natural dyeing is about. It's all about herbs.
Yeah, and the first herb which he actually took was manjistha. That's the red matter. And it's an amazing lymphatic herb that I know of it now. And of course, it helps with eczema, vitiligo, with bleeding disorders, with heart health issues as well.
Yeah.
So much a herb that can dye the cloth as well as help you with your chronic illnesses as a support, as an adjunct, is so invaluable.
Yeah. And I still remember that back in 2016 when you started getting into this. So that time we actually had an opportunity to completely, although we weren't really consuming, I wouldn't say consuming, but really having antibiotics or anything of those sorts. We weren't really consuming many pharmaceutical drugs when it came to acute issues like, you know, viral infections and so on. But by 2016 itself, we were hardly consuming any of that. And when Jui got interested, I think that was the point where we completely weaned off all pharmaceutical drugs. Like, we haven't had any pharmaceutical drugs since then. And it was that once Juhi, it was even before you enrolled in the course. You already started reading about these things online, I remember.
Of course. And we also utilized it for my father-in-law when he met with an accident and it was a concussion. So that was like a turning point for all of us to just think through that other things apart from the medical care, yeah, the primary care. We can do things that are in our control, but you just have to be diligent about what you're doing. And that was, I think, the first step towards health and wellness.
Yeah, and his healing was really fast and he was really impressed. And I think from there, that's what I empowered you.
Yeah, completely boosted my confidence to get into this more deeply.
Yeah, but of course, at that point of time, we couldn't have imagined, I think you couldn't have imagined that you'll ever take this up as a profession, as a career.
Yeah, I always thought that this is something I'll do on the side because it just piqued my interest at the moment. But never really thought of making it as a full-fledged career.
Right.
Out of it.
And I remember some of the first few herbs that we were consuming back then. Of course, we were
pretty naive and
at an nascent stage. Yeah. Like I remember ginger, turmeric and all those basic stuff, you know, the kitchen herbs.
Exactly. And you just have to start from there. It's as basic as it gets.
Yeah, but also, I mean, we have kitchen herbs, as in a lot of us, we have kitchen herbs and herbs in the cabinet. But we don't know, like many people don't know how to use it.
That's true.
So what actually came with that was discovering a lot of uses for the same herbs and spices.
That's true.
And I remember some of the other herbs that you got into the picture was, I think, olive leaf was there.
Olive leaf, elecampane.
Yeah, and elecampane. And this madder, I think.
The madder, yeah.
That was also exactly what we started consuming.
Yeah, that's true. And that we used it for blood cleansing because it's an alternative which helps with toxic elimination and making your blood more purer. But I think it's actually metabolizing your cells in a much better way.
Yeah, and I think even Moringa is what we started with, not as...
as a detox agent, actually.
Yeah, but that was more on as like food. We used to consume it every day.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we move on to understanding how herbalism functions, what it's all about, like how do you go about doing what you do?
Yeah.
Let's first, an important question that I have is, in the eyes of the general public, you know, more of the conventional setting, herbalism is seen as quackery, which is definitely a grave misunderstanding. Before we move ahead into understanding what herbalism is about, would you like to talk about this topic? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like, for that matter, I don't know how vividly I could explain this, but I'll try my best because with herbal medicine, I don't know why, but Western medicine practitioners don't really know about alternative medicine line.
Yeah, definitely.
And its importance, wherein we can holistically, integratively, collaboratively help people in their healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've always seen that scoffing off the traditional herbal medicine by the Western medicine should actually be stopped.
Because after all, Western medicine is, frankly, my own personal view, the way I have stopped addressing pharmaceutical drugs as medicines. This is in my own personal view. And, you know, some people, I mean, Jui herself, I think you call me as an extremist, but I think I just want to voice my opinion more openly from now on. So I would not tag them as medicines. I would tag them as pharmaceutical drugs, just what it is, right?
Yeah.
And we have been always made to think that medicine, it's something that cures. But if you actually go to see, pharmaceutical drugs don't cure anything. They have never cured anything. And with that, I don't imply that there are other things that cure. I'm not talking about curing and healing. I'm just talking about that pharmaceutical drugs cannot reverse any disease.
We know that as a matter. Of course, they can be life-saving in acute situation. Example, when a person has AFib, so they need to go to the hospital to get that stabilized.
Yeah, I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, what are we expecting? That these corporations, these are industries, it's an industry, and these are corporations, and how do they make their profits? By selling their drugs.
Yeah, of course, patenting them, and it's corporatized, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, if people are well, and they don't need, if they are completely, they get well and they don't need to like really live off the drugs, literally live off the drugs, because once people get onto drugs, there is no going back in the conventional setting. So why would they ever want people to be well?
And the second thing is that, of course, they also instill fear for something that they are unaware of. And this is something I don't like, because why are you sort of dissuading the other person to use other healing or other supportive modalities in the healthcare system?
Exactly. And I mean, if people start getting well and they don't need drugs, then that's you know, they're destroying their profits. And so I think we are having wrong expectations. We are having expectations that someone who makes money off people's diseases, that actually helps us to get well. How is that possible? That model doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Right? So,
exactly. I mean, even Phyllis Light, another herbalist, a respected one, talks about breaking down the boundaries. And it's going to take decades before that happen, between traditional medicine and science.
Hmm.
And we have to stop thinking us versus them, science versus tradition, because it's all collaborative. It's all part of someone's healing journey.
Everything has its place in time.
Yeah.
So nothing is good, nothing is bad. Just that everything has its place in time.
Yeah. And, okay, getting back to your question, more so in another direction, I have to say that even archaeologists have uncovered many of medicinal plants that were used in the Paleolithic era, some 60,000 years ago.
Yeah.
The first ones that were actually documented in the Sumerians or in ancient Mesopotamia, who lived more than 5,000 years ago. Yeah. So you can see herbs were used back then as well.
Yeah, I remember we do have an episode where we discussed the history of medicine.
That's true.
But I think we didn't go that far. We started off from Roman and Egyptian times.
Yes.
But this what we are...
No, that was, of course, even that was pretty
ancient. Yeah, it's pretty ancient. But I think this predates that time as well.
Yeah, 60,000, yes.
Or maybe more, because history as we know it conventionally, again, is not really the entire picture. In fact, it's pretty skewed.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, out of context, but if you really want to know the history, please look into the works of Graham Hancock.
Yes.
And I think one of his books, The Fingerprint of the Gods, and there's of course on Gaia, I listen to Gaia all the time, and there's this ancient civilizations and entire docu-series. It's really interesting. But anyways, getting back to the topic.
Yeah, so there's a short history of medicine that I'd like to speak about here. In 2000 BC, people used to say here, eat this root. Then when 1000 AD came around, they said that root is heathen. Here, say this prayer. Then by 1850 AD, that prayer is superstition. Here, drink this potion. By 1940 AD, that potion is snake oil. Here, swallow this pill. Then by 1985, that pill is ineffective. Here, take this antibiotic. And by 2000 AD, that antibiotic is artificial. Here, eat this root. So I think it's coming full circle.
Yeah, definitely. People are waking up to the fact.
Yeah. So that's actually encouraging us to do what we are doing even more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we've been so attuned to modern science, which actually cuts us off from our level of being, where we can find that true satisfaction. But we are so structured and linear in our thinking that we try to put everything in boxes. Everything is either black or white. Wherein herbs have been and are a source of wisdom and philosophies from diverse cultures. And we also need this mindful healthcare more so now than ever, as we are dealing with an array of problems ranging from headaches to heart attacks,
mm-hmm,
to autoimmunity. And this will only hold true when we rediscover our long-standing traditions.
Absolutely. Well said.
Yeah. And with indigenous people, all of them, in the past and even in present, they assert that plants have endowed their knowledge on us only when we are in the right state of mind and with who we are and who we are meant to be. And this is as true as beating of our hearts, right?
Yeah.
And if people want to turn a blind eye towards that, they're losing a lot.
Yeah. And if, for those of you all listening, if you all think this is woo-woo, then we'll be doing a separate episode in the near future on plant consciousness. It's a really interesting topic that we are exploring, and there is so much more than what we think, because we tend to think as we are ego-driven beings who think that we are the supreme of all living beings on earth.
But then that's also the case that we feel distorted. We have so many issues because we are not one with nature.
That's true. And it's time that we realize that and get back to our roots.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean go and live in the forest. We don't have to take any extreme steps. We just have to change our perception. And when we change our perception, we tend to take the right actions.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
And also, of course, I mean, there are so many other healing modalities that people can look into. In the alternative medicine field, like there's yoga, there's hypnosis, there's meditation, naturopathy, spiritual healing,
of course,
Qigong,
Reiki,
magnetism,
acupressure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much. The list just goes on.
Yeah.
There's so much. But at the end of the day, it's what you need. And at that point of time, based on your own choices and own situation. And but regardless of that, I feel that herbalism is something that is the basis of all, because
it's carried from generations to generations, from grandmothers to their descendants.
And herbs not just affect the biochemistry, but it also works with our energetic fields and also the mind. So it's they are really powerful, I would say, really powerful. Okay, so should we move on to the methodology?
Yes.
So now tell us in short, because I know you can go on for hours.
Of course.
But tell us in short and sweet words, how does herbalism work? Like, how do you figure out what herbs to use?
I mean, for that, there are traditional systems that look at the person as a whole in accordance with the nature to realize a person's constitution. For example, in Ayurveda, we have three doshas.
Mm-hmm.
And these doshas are made of five elements. That's earth, fire, air, and ether. And for example, if we the first dosha is like Vata dosha, which is made up of air and ether. So in this, the person might be a thin body framed person with prominent bones. Then there's a Pitta dosha. In this one, the person's constitution would be more hot, sharp, clear. But when there are imbalances present, there can be a lot of heat inflammation because the elements that this person is made of is more of fire and water.
Okay, so what you're saying is these elements or doshas, they normally...
Elements are part of the doshas.
Okay, elements are part of the doshas.
So doshas are constitutions.
Constitutions. So these constitutions...
It's your blueprint, right?
It's our blueprint. And these constitutions are, affect our like characteristics, like physical characteristics, body shape.
Exactly.
Our even moods, emotions.
Yes, to an extent, yes. Because usually, for example, with Pitta dosha, a person can have a medium height and a medium weight.
Right.
But they are also great leaders.
Right.
They're courageous and they can digest and assimilate both emotions and food quite well.
Right. And also biochemistry, right? Because then, as you said, inflammation, too much of heat.
Yeah, exactly. Because they are made up of those elements, more of fire. So if that goes out of hand, then obviously people can deal with a lot of eczema or autoimmune conditions.
Got it. So if... in someone's case who is like more of fiery, for example, and maybe in their case, if inflammation, we don't require that much of inflammation to occur for an issue to occur because they're already fiery in, or maybe someone who is...
Because that's their dominant dosha.
Dominant. So if someone who is air-based and they have inflammation, it'll take time for that inflammation to really affect them.
That's true. But then again, no person would just be one constitution.
Hmm.
They can have a combination of that. Like a person can be Vata and Pitta.
So, okay.
Or they can be Kapha. Kapha is again earth and water, made up of earth and water elements. And it's more like cold, heavy, dense, slow. But these are the negative points. But if we see the positive of that, they are more muscular.
Mm-hmm.
They are steady. They are loyal. They are loving. They are positive.
Oh, wow. So
definitely that really entails into the whole characteristic of a person, right?
So the majority of the work for you is also figuring out what kind of
dosha the person has. The
like a mixture.
Yes.
Got it. And then based on that, you use herbs.
Exactly. And it's also not just that. I also look at the, of course, the tissue state.
Okay.
Yeah. For example, if the person, as I told you, if the person has a lot of heat symptoms, so that's hot excitation, and the person can be overstimulated, or there's a lot of swelling that's happening in the tissues. So helping with some, I would say, some cooling, relaxing herbs in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or another tissue state could be cold depression, and that... The person will not respond to any kind of stimulation. So there's tissue depression. There's lack of sensation.
Okay.
Yeah. There's more fatigue and sluggishness, which what happens in thyroid, for example. Or hypothyroid, right, to be specific.
But basically, the constituents, the constituents which are actually affecting the tissue state.
No, it's not the constitution that's affecting the tissue state.
Okay. It's just what it is.
Yeah, I mean, yes, there is definitely an association of the doshas, but if acutely you're dealing with something, then that time you have to look at the tissue states first, irrespective of their dominant dosha.
Okay, okay. Wow, yeah. Okay. So that becomes complex.
Yeah, that's what we've been taught. And then after that, if you want to maintain your health and wellness, then you work according to your dosha.
And if I'm not mistaken, now you have started to delve into astrology as well, right? I mean,
little by little, I'm getting into that as well.
So the the cosmic vibrations, yeah, and the fields,
yeah,
and
the planetary influences
on these doshas.
Yes.
Yeah, and plus, if for those of you all who don't know that, of course, I've done functional medicine, not and just, she's also taken yeah. that up. And so yes. she's now combining functional medicine also in this.
Yeah.
Wow, it's going to get really complex. I don't know how you'll ever handle it.
No, but I think it's always good to have many tools in your toolbox.
Hmm.
Because then again, it gives us a broad view about the person's health history and the person as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
To understand the client more than just the disease labels, right?
Right. Okay, so as you said, there's the tissue states and the constituents. And the constituents, they keep changing.
There is a prakriti, which mm-hmm. is your current constitution, that keeps changing.
Uh-huh.
And there's a... that's the dominant constitution,
mm-hmm.
prakriti. Vikruti is something that keeps changing over time. It keeps fluctuating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because body type would, it wouldn't go under an extreme change, right? Someone who's broad-shouldered wouldn't just shrink down.
Yeah.
So I get that. All right. And so what do? You match those constituents with even the herbs, then have some kind of constituents. Like, of course, I think electromagnetic fields of their own. And
yeah, they have energetics.
Uh-huh.
And then matching that herb to the energetics, matching that energetics of the plant to the energetics of the person
mm-hmm.
is what... we herbalists, I think, are good at.
Yeah, because I remember when you were preparing this mixture for me. How do you call that? The mixture?
Tincture blend.
The tincture blend, sorry. So when you were preparing the tincture blend for me, you also took my pulse.
Yeah.
And you gave me...
of course, I also look at tongue,
mm-hmm.
nails. Some people also do eye diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
But I think eye evaluation, to be very specific.
Yeah, I mean, y'all don't diagnose. None of us diagnose.
Yeah.
There's just assessment. That's it. There's no diagnosis. Yeah. We don't diagnose.
Yeah. So that goes into the picture, into the whole symptom picture of mm-hmm. the person. And of course, I do ask you about your own symptoms, what you're feeling inside, how's your digestion. Are you feeling hot or are you feeling cold in your stomach,
mm-hmm.
for example? Or with your food, do you like your food more hot or more cold?
Right.
And such questions.
So there's a lot of depth you need to get into.
Yeah.
I can understand.
It cannot be done on a superficial level. And that's why many herbalists take around 3 hours of questioning with their clients.
Wow. I think with whatever I'm learning from you... it's definitely more than what we do in functional medicine as per studying the person. You all go in more, much more depths.
Yeah, but then we are also trying to understand the energetics and of course trying to assess all the organ systems together and try to create or paint a picture, which is not always possible
mm-hmm.
because our bodies are so complex. We are so complex as human beings that to uncover everything at one point of time, that's not, I don't think that's really possible immediately.
Yeah.
But over the time, we can obviously peel the layer of the onion and get to the root cause.
Right. Okay. So this is more or less the basics or the methodology of herbalism.
Yeah.
The core of it.
Yes.
Got it. And so now let's move on to, if you have covered the core, and let's just move on to...
Yeah.
The herbs, common herbs
yeah.
that our listeners can use. I'm sure that most of the herbs that are already there in the cupboards of our, in the kitchen of our listeners. And so tell us about a few herbs that are easy to find and our listeners can use.
Yeah, I like people can definitely utilize their kitchen spices. For example, they can do sage, rosemary,
mm-hmm.
Thyme, lavender as a calming tea. They can combine these and use it as a calming
tea. And how do you make this tea? Because
you have to use one part of sage, rosemary, thyme, and for lavender, half a part. And then combine that And then you can take 2 teaspoons per cup of water, hot water, and let it steep for 10 to 15 minutes. And then you can strain and enjoy it.
Okay, what do you mean by half a part and one part?
Half a part or one part, maybe if they are taking sage as, for example, just 1 cup of sage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or 100 grams of sage. Then they are mixing it with 100 grams of rosemary and 100 grams of thyme.
So that's one actually part.
Yeah, and half a part is 50%. 50,
oh, got it.
Yeah, that's 50 grams of lavender. So they can make a big batch of it and just keep it.
In an airtight container.
Of course, and so that obviously herbs don't dry out more. Though they are dried herbs, but...
But they can use fresh herbs, right?
Definitely, why not?
Fresh are better, I suppose.
If you can avail it, that's the best thing.
And I think to grow these herbs, even for people who don't have backyards and big spaces, they can even their window sill in the kitchen.
Few herbs they can. Yeah. Definitely.
And I think most of the herbs, even in fresh form, they are easily available in local markets.
Yeah.
So not a big problem. So what do these herbs do?
Yeah, I mean, with sage, for example, it's really calming. It's working on your oils and lipids
mm-hmm.
in your body. And it's a warming herb. So it's really good to, if you're not digesting your food well.
Mm-hmm.
So this would help for that. Then on the other hand, rosemary is again absolutely essential when you have circulation issues.
Mm-hmm.
And even that's again anti-inflammatory.
Okay.
And calming as well. So I really like that. If you're trying to avoid coffee, instead you can just have some rosemary, some ginkgo biloba.
That's for memory.
That's exactly. Biloba. Yeah. And with thyme, it's a kitchen spice. Again, it's a carminative, it's a digestive herb.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're digesting well, because we have that vagus nerve in our digestive system,
yeah,
which connects to our brain. So you're actually calming the digestive system, therefore you're calming the brain, your mind.
Right.
Right. Then, but you can also use another formula. For example, if you have ginger, you can use some ginger, fennel and peppermint. Equal parts of each of them. Even they are absolutely amazing if you have trouble digesting food.
Yeah, and I think mostly people have digestion issues.
Yeah. And for example, another one would be an antimicrobial tea, in that it helps to, with this tea, is helping the heat to circulate from the core to the periphery.
Okay.
And fighting off any infection. So for that, a person can actually take 1 to 2 pieces of ginger, which is peeled and chopped.
Mm-hmm.
They can just throw into cardamom pods. 2 cinnamon sticks and some and 7 whole cloves, and put some honey, maple syrup, and 1 star anise with 2 cups of water. So they can place them in a saucepan with water and let them simmer on low heat for 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
And then after they strain it, they can sweeten it with honey or the maple syrup.
Yeah, but never heat the honey.
Never do that. Definitely. Because then that could create more armor or canker in the body.
Yeah, and there's also...
Especially when you're combining honey with ghee, that's clarified butter. And if you're taking equal parts, never do that. Food combination also comes into the picture, which we get it from Ayurveda.
Right, yes. And I think that we can cover in another episode. I think this... specific recipe or a similar one you have already covered in the first aid, Nature's Bounty on our subscription, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have already given different solutions over there. But definitely people can always contact me if they need these recipes because they are so simple and yet so profound to use. And you can just make it fresh every time.
And if you would like to contact us, you can go to our website, wellnessandbeyond.es, as in España, and you'll see there'll be a round circle, and you press on it, it's rotating, it'll take you to the contact form, you can put in your questions, ask us whatever you want, And of course, in the subscription, Jui has covered a lot more on different types of first aid. She's done webinars where she's covered fevers and cuts, burns and bites and broken bones and whatnot. Everything is covered. So,
and more is coming.
Lots more is coming because we are building a library so that you can always find your answers easily. And if not, we are there. Other community members would be there joining soon. So you'll always have your answer.
Yeah, or at least we can just help you or nudge you towards the right direction.
Yeah. You'll always have support as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, is there anything you would like to add as in common herbs?
No, I think this is good enough.
Okay.
Yeah. Because if you really need to know more, I would say there are good books to refer to. The first one would be of Rosemary Gladstar.
Mm-hmm.
I love her book on medicinal herbs. So that's really good to start with.
Okay.
The other one would be Body into Balance by Maria Groves. Even that one is great. And by Robin Rose Bennett, there is The Gift of Healing Herbs.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the beginner books that people can actually read and get more acquainted with the whole herbal world.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I think...
so that you're going in stronger.
Yeah. So these are good books to start. Do keep in mind.
Yeah.
And I think as for you, you have learned from a lot of... Your teachers were Saja and Matthew.
Saja Pofam from Evolutionary School of Herbalism. Todd Caldicott from Dogwood Botanical. Then Matthew Wood from Matthew Wood Institute of Herbalism. And Phyllis Light.
Yeah, and top of that...
Yeah, and I am also currently... I actually also want to start Judith Hill's astrological course as well. So that's one on the list. And also Chanchal Kabreda's cancer course.
Yeah, right. And apart from that...
So trying to just upgrade my knowledge every time.
Yeah, and it's not just about courses. I mean, she has a lot of books.
That's true. Yeah, those are just... I'm not... going to be talking about them in this episode, but yeah.
And you completely forgot to mention that you started off with Herbal Academy.
Yes. So yes, that was a really, really good start for me with their beginner's course. And that's what gave me more insight as to where I need to look further.
Right.
And in which direction. And to see what kind of mentors I really need for my... herbal educational path.
Right. And so I think with that, I'm sure that our listeners should have much clarity on where to look. However, if you still have any issues or questions or doubts, you can always write to us.
Yeah, we would love to have some feedback from you guys or maybe just some insights you all have to share.
Yeah, and on that note, if you have shared something about herbalism, if you have experienced something related to herbs or you have had certain experiences that you would like to share with other listeners.
And experiences can be either good ones, beneficial to you, or something that was unpleasant. Because at the end of the day, always remember that we all are learning.
Yeah. But again, everyone's body is different. So no one can have the same effect with one herb. Everyone is going to have different effects. Not when I say different, does not mean good or bad.
Yeah.
It's just different effects.
Yeah.
So
or reaction.
Right? It can be a positive or a negative or just neutral.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all, is there anything that our listeners need to take care of when it comes to using herbs? Any precautions one should be taking when using herbs in general?
Definitely. In general is to use your own mental discernment. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. Because obviously, we just can't say, just because something is available in nature, we should just take it and have it in large amounts. You have to be careful with the dosages. And always, if you're having tinctures, always start with 1 to 2 drops. And then proceed from there.
Yeah, so start with small dosages and see how you feel.
Yeah.
And then progress. However, it's always...
And sometimes you can also put a drop on your inner wrist.
Hmm.
And you can try that, you know, if you can see whether you get any reaction or not. And if nothing happens, then and you feel better, then I think it's a herb for you.
Yeah, because remember, the skin is also a big mouth and it absorbs everything.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, I mean, definitely don't go to try out something new, something that you don't know about. First, educate yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you don't know, that's all right. You can always learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can educate yourself, as you rightly pointed out. And people shouldn't be discouraged or dissuaded. Rather, more encouraged to get more one with nature.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way is to start with just making a simple tea.
Yeah.
With calendula flowers, for example. So healing, such a vulnerary, which helps with the healing of the tissues inside with your mucous membrane. So something as simple as that, something as simple as fennel tea, which is digestive, carminative.
Mm-hmm.
Just start with one herb. That's it.
Yeah.
The one that you know. And just see what it does to your body. How do you feel after using it? Taste it, because even that's a type of herbalism, mm-hmm. wherein you taste and understand what constituents it has and how's it reacting in your own body.
Right. And I think you'll also go by that, right? The bitterness and all, you'll really also take the taste into account.
Definitely. Definitely. That's also a key point in our whole studying about herbs.
And the way you all match the herb with the person.
Of course.
Right. So, there you have it. I hope that you all have a good understanding of herbalism. I do. Definitely I do. I know more about herbalism today than I have known in the last 5, 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah, because none of us are from this field. So, neither were our grandmothers or anyone. So.
Yeah, but they did have some knowledge about some herbs that...
That's passed down from...
But every time, because of modernization, this knowledge was being cut down, things went missing, and eventually it just got lost.
Yeah.
So, but now it's time that we reclaim. And this is something that... Just don't think that you have to do something professionally. It's an encouragement for everyone to learn about this.
Yes.
And you can choose to either do it via books, or you can also join courses yourself if you have the time, or you can just join our community, subscribe. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
We've kept it affordable for everyone. It's 36.9 euros, which is around $39. And with that, you will have all the support and information you need. And yeah, I think that's, we can wrap it up for today.
Yeah.
Unless you want to add something.
No, I think it's it was pretty well covered.
Yeah. So there you go. And hope you enjoyed this episode and found it interesting. We'd also love to have your feedback. You can share your experiences, feedback, ask questions. Just go to the website. The link has been, the website link has been placed in the show notes. And until then, see you all next time.
Bye.
Have a great weekend.